Dear faithful, it is now the hour and moment when our Lord Jesus Christ has finished his compassion. He has finished his passion and hangs on the cross, soon about to die. All this for our sins and because of our sake. For hours and hours, the bloodthirsty raffle has amused itself in torturing God Almighty, in torturing our Lord Jesus Christ, who never did anything wrong, but always wished good for everybody. Most of all, he wished that everybody would go to heaven and thus make correct again that horrible sin of Adam and Eve, which closed the gates of heaven from mankind. But the evil people who crucified him, they didn't think of God, they didn't think of goodness or his mercy. Instead, the sinners struck him, our Lord Jesus, with their fists. They tore his hair and they spat on his holy face. But Jesus, he bore all this torture and humiliation silently and without complaint. His holy face was full of love and grace. This holy face was now so cruelly abused and dishonored. It truly became true, the prophecy of King David concerning the Messiah. I am a worm and no man, the reproach of men and the outcast of the people. So we, when we see our Lord Jesus hanging on the cross, we should ask ourselves, who is he? And Pilate gave the answer, behold, a man. He is a suffering man. He is tortured. He is abused. He feels pain, horrible, agonizing pain, worse than we could ever even imagine. But he is also the man of sorrows. Even more than physical pain, our Lord Jesus feels sorrow and pain and torture as God. He is our Creator. He is our benefactor. And look now on this Good Friday how we have rewarded him. Have we crowned him as a king? No, we treat him like a worst of criminals. And this is not enough for our pride and selfishness. We even laugh to him. We spat on him. We wish that the soldiers would do even the most humiliating things to him, like make him carry his own cross and strip him of his garments and putting sharp nails on his hand and feet. And finally, we wish that he would die and expire there alone without anyone to console him. So why is Jesus suffering? He suffers because he wants to do that for us. Look at how we abused him, but also look how he reward us. Instead of horrible threats of punishment and warnings that we will spend eternity in hell, he chose to suffer. And instead of cruel judge, he chose to show his holy and abused and bruised face to us. When we look at this holy face, all bruised and tortured and spat upon, how could that not move our hearts? How could that not make us swear under the name of Holy God that we will never commit a single sin again. If this is what is the result of sin, how could we ever want to return to sin and pleasures of the world again? Our Lord speaks to us, saying, I suffer this for love of thee, to make satisfaction for thy sins, and to give to thee an example of humility and patience. What a great and loving and merciful God and Creator we have. He, instead of being a harsher judge threatening us with punishment, he returns evil with good. And like I explained to you yesterday, the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ is the best guarantee that in the end, good always conquers and defeats evil. The history of mankind is truly the history of evil, and it's the history of sin. Man has offended God by disobedience. The very first chapters of the sacred scripture, the very first chapters of the whole history of mankind tell about disobedience and pride. Because disobedience and sin towards God, they always sprang from pride. They always sprang from our inner desire to be something more than we are placed here on earth by God to be. How often we wish that and say to ourselves that I am entitled to something more. I shouldn't be suffering so much. My life should be easier, or at least my neighbor's life should be as difficult as mine. All that comes from the inclination to sin. All that springs from pride. And all those thoughts which lead to evil actions, all those are the one who so cruelly tortured and abused our dear, sweet Jesus. Man, in his pride and in his disobedience and rebel, he wanted to be like God, but not like sweet, suffering, and merciful God like Jesus. He wanted to be conqueror. He wanted to be rich. He wanted to be famous. He wanted to satisfy his own desires and never gave a thought what is the will of his benefactor and creator, God Almighty. So it was for this pride of ours that Jesus atoned on the cross by hanging there for hours and then finally dying there, abandoned by all except Saint John and his holy mother and few faithful women. By choosing the most hideous and gruesome of deaths, our Lord showed and proved to everybody, both to good and to the evil, that his grace has conquered and a goodness has overcome evil. In the old law, in the law of the Old Testament, the law of warnings and punishments and imperfect sacrifices, there the body of an executed criminal was hung upon a cross as a token that this man was cursed by God and rejected by the people. We should keep in our mind that every single time we commit a sin, we draw God's curse and the abandonment of his people upon us. By sinning, we rebel against God. If we wish evil to our neighbor, we truly draw curse of God upon ourselves. We would be truly we would truly be like Judas's, without any hope without any expectation of mercy, waiting only the eternal punishment in hell, had there not been the sacrifice of our sweet Jesus on his holy and sacred cross. Jesus allowed himself to be hung on the cross when he was alive. He wanted to become the man of sorrows for few short hours on this earth, so that we wouldn't need to be sorrowful and remorseful forever and ever in hell. So great and good was our Creator, so merciful was he, that he chose to be a reproach of everybody, so that our Heavenly Father would not abandon us to our sins, would not suffer to send us forever in hell, but that we would have everlasting life in heaven, just as he had planned to before Adam and Eve committed hideous sin and brought the curse upon themselves and to their children. So it was that Jesus abased himself, he humiliated himself, he made himself obedient under the cross. He humbled and humiliated himself on the cross even more than he did at the incarnation. You might remember that on Christmas, even though it was a beautiful and hopeful and glorious occasion, it was still the great humiliation for God Almighty that he allowed himself to be carried on by man, to be nursed by a woman, and to be persecuted by creatures. Even the joyful occasion of incarnation for the first Christmas was a deep humiliation to God, how greater abasement was that he was not only led and persecuted by men, but he was tortured and crucified and murdered by men. So if anybody should ever tell you that God is cruel, God demands so much of men through the commandments of his church, never incline your ears to that sort of people. You only need to cast your eyes on the crucifix to refute all those kinds of talks of the world, because our Lord abased and humiliated himself so that we wouldn't need to be perished forever. The cross is therefore a sign of redemption. The cross stands upon the earth and raises itself towards heaven. In the cross alone we have salvation, and from the cross flow all graces and blessings. It is by the sign of the cross that you recognize a Catholic. A Catholic signs himself with the sign of the cross to show that he is a Christian, a follower of Jesus, and not the follower of the world or its pleasures. When preparing for death, our Lord also was the man of sorrows. He wept. He was crying. He was not crying for himself, but because of the sins of the world, which men loved more than they loved God. Jesus had tried to warn Jerusalem, but this great city remained cold and hard-hearted. Jerusalem and the world prepared only a cross to its maker, to our dear Lord Jesus. But even in the midst of his torture and death, our Lord prayed for his enemies, and he prayed for us who have made ourselves his enemies through sin. On the cross there was no signs of grudge, no signs of hatred. There was only love, redemption, and forgiveness. There could, in the history of the world, never be a heart so noble and loving as was the Sacred Heart of Jesus. When we think of our heroes, when we think of people whom we most admire, maybe sometimes we think of a hero of a nation, maybe we think of our friend or our parents or some good benefactors of the world. But really, when we think of our greatest hero, our greatest benefactor, the one who has loved us most and more than anyone else, let us think of Jesus. Let us think of his Sacred Heart, that Sacred Heart who shed his precious blood for us who were totally unworthy of it. So, dear faithful, on this day of our Lord's crucifixion and death, never give in to despair. Never think that our Lord demands too much from us. No, our Lord demanded everything from our Lord Jesus. God the Father demanded our Jesus to be submitted into most hideous tortures. So much was demanded from Jesus, and so little is demanded from us. Throughout our whole life, if we stay faithful, if we promise and pledge ourselves to follow Jesus wherever he goes, then we have not only a share in his sufferings, but also in his resurrection. That cross, which was the sign of reproach for evil men, that is a pledge of honor, that is a badge of honor to us who are Christians and Catholics and who follow our Lord Jesus all the way up to Calvary and from there are taken to heaven as his true creatures and as his true children. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.